The firm in question, Strong Castle Inc., is at the center of separate investigations by the Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration and the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Both have been probing allegations that the IRS's Deputy Director for IT Acquisition, Greg Roseman, gave preferential treatment and inside information to Strong Castle's owner, who the committee calls a longtime friend. Witnesses also claim Strong Castle engaged in fraud to win the contracts. The IRS told congressional investigators earlier this week that it was troubled by the allegations, but it needed to keep at least one of the large contracts because it provided a subscription for mission-critical IBM software. That changed on Tuesday when the committee revealed it had obtained hundreds of records of contacts between the two men's personal cell phones, including dozens of calls and text messages leading up to one major IT acquisition. Beth Tucker is the Deputy IRS Commissioner for Operations Support.
Let me be clear. These types of communications should not occur between a procurement employee and a contractor. We expect all of our employees to act with professionalism and integrity.
Tucker says the content of the text messages and emails, which included not just an overly cozy relationship, but also numerous homophobic slurs, prompted IRS officials to look for ways to terminate its remaining contracts with Strong Castle, which, all told, have a ceiling value of $500 million. She says Roseman should have disclosed the friendship and recused himself from any procurement decisions involving the company. Instead, she says he appears to have successfully concealed the friendship from his colleagues.
Mr. Roseman was repeatedly asked by his superiors if he had a personal relationship with Mr. Casillo and Strong Castle, and he denied it. And I believe the detail that we saw excerpted in the report has raised considerable concern that we are in the process of separating our relationship with Strong Castle.
Roseman also appeared at a Wednesday hearing before the House Oversight Committee, but declined to answer questions from Committee Chairman Daryl Issa.
Mr. Roseman, are you currently employed by the IRS?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer any questions and invoke my Fifth Amendment privilege to remain silent.
Braulio Castillo, Strong Castle's founder, president, and CEO, did testify, and committee members say, to his credit, he has fully cooperated with the investigation, taken part in hours of interviews, and turned over volumes of documents, emails, and text messages. He also says he's done nothing wrong.
We have never received any improper preferential treatment, and we have competed fairly for every IRS contract that we received. In the short time frame that we've owned Strong Castle, our company has made meaningful contributions to the IRS mission and offered the government cost-effective solutions to very difficult problems.
Notwithstanding Castillo's alleged inside track to the IRS's procurement processes, the committee's investigation showed other agency officials were eager to award contracts to his company for other reasons. Strong Castle was certified as both a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business and a HubZone business. So making awards to that firm would let the IRS contribute to two of its annual high-priority contracting goals at once. But the Oversight Committee found significant issues with both of those designations. On the HubZone question, the Small Business Administration did too, and it revoked Strong Castle's certification last month. To earn it in the first place, the company established its corporate headquarters in a disadvantaged neighborhood in Washington. But Castillo acknowledged that none of the people managing the company's day-to-day operations actually worked there. The only people who did, investigators found, were a group of students from Catholic University who also happened to live in HubZones. Castillo found them by contacting the school's football coach, who happened to be his former college roommate.
And the witnesses did make it pretty clear. They don't go there. The people who had real money don't go there. A few college students show up and surf the internet looking for potential new contracts. And we were scoring impact to blighted communities, when in fact that score is at best fraudulent.
Fraudulent, Issa says, not just because the company doesn't appear to have had any significant business activity in the HubZone, but also because the IRS was able to take credit toward its HubZone contracting goals for the entire amount of the award, even though, in one case, 98% of the money involved in the more than $200 million contract for IBM software went to IBM itself, not a small business.
Our indication is that this contract cost more than it would have cost if it had been competitively bid to the principals. We get these report cards talking about hundreds of millions and billions of dollars going into these blighted zones that we're trying to encourage. Hundreds of millions and billions of dollars going to our disabled veterans.
And in Wednesday's hearing, committee members spent significant time examining how Strong Castle earned its status as a service-disabled, veteran-owned small business. Castillo's military service consisted of 1 year as a redshirt football player at the U.S. Military Academy's prep school. That's where he suffered an injury to his foot, which sidelined him for several weeks. He went on to play for 4 more years of football in college, but 20 years later managed to earn a 30% disability rating from VA because of that football injury, which he then leveraged into SDVOSB status for his company. Several members of the committee had problems with that designation, but none more than Illinois Democrat Tammy Duckworth, an Army veteran who lost both her legs when her helicopter was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade in Iraq.
Thank you for being here today. Your foot hurt? Your left foot?
Yes, ma'am.
It hurts, yeah. My feet hurt, too. In fact, the balls of my feet burn continuously, and I feel like there's a nail being hammered into my right heel right now. So I can understand pain and suffering and how service connection can actually cause long-term, unremitting, unyielding, unstoppable pain. So I'm sorry that twisting your ankle in high school has now come back to hurt you in such a painful way, if also opportune for you to gain this status for your business as you were trying to compete for contracts.
Duckworth says she also lost most of the use of her right arm and may still have to have it amputated. For that, VA assigned her a 20% disability rating. Castillo expressed gratitude for Duckworth's sacrifice and pointed out that it's the VA's decision to assign disability ratings, not his. And committee members say that while the investigation's ongoing, there is no clear evidence at this point that Castillo or his company violated any laws or regulations. But Duckworth says he actively participated in breaking with the spirit, if not the letter, of the country's preferential contracting laws.
You said, "My family and I have made considerable sacrifices for our country. My service-connected disability status should serve as a testimony to that end. I can't play with my kids because I can't walk without pain. I take twice daily pain medication so I can work a normal day's worth. These are crosses. These are crosses that I bear due to my service to our great country, and I would do it again to protect this great country. I'm so glad that you would be willing to play football in prep school again to protect this great country. Shame on you, Mr. Castillo. Shame on you. You may not have broken any laws, but you certainly broke the trust of this great nation. Iraq and Afghanistan veterans right now are waiting an average of 237 days for an initial disability rating. And it is because people like you who are gaming the system are adding to that backlog so that young men and women who are suffering from post-traumatic stress, who are missing limbs, cannot get the compensation and the help that they need."
The IRS says it's seen no evidence so far that anyone besides Roseman has been engaged in improper contacts with contractors. But Tucker says while the agency waits for the final outcome of IG and congressional investigations, it's also making changes.
"We're doing a top-to-bottom review of procurement policies and procedures, everything from internal controls to business processes and staffing practices. I've also asked the Department of Treasury to expand its routine assessment of IRS procurement to include a review of small business programs. Based on the troubling information that we have received, we will also further enhance employee training with regard to ethics, with a focus on gift rules, conflicts of interest, impartiality, and the appearance of impropriety, and misuse of official position."
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.